And Lord Chaitanya was always so happy to see him. The boy would fall down at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and offer his life and his soul. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace him with great affection and ask so many questions about the child's welfare. And they would talk about so many wonderful topics related to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya would spend a lot of time just talking to this little boy. One day, after Lord Chaitanya reciprocated with the love of this child, the child left. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya loved this boy so dearly because of his simple devotion. And how possibly can a young child not want to associate with someone who loves him so dearly? It was impossible for the child to stop coming. But it was impossible for Damodar Pandit to tolerate. After the child left on that day, Damodar Pandit, he spoke. Everyone says that you have come to teach the highest principles of religion by your example. What are we seeing here? Why you allow this child to come here? Do not you know that people will talk, it will be the ruination of your reputation? Lord Chaitanya replied, what nonsense are you speaking? Damodar Pandit replied, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are completely transcendental to this world and everything in. You are totally free to do whatever you want. No one has the power to question you. Everything you do is perfect. However, this world is full of fault finders and envious people. This boy may have all good qualities, but his mother is a widow. She has no husband. He is dead. His mother is chaste, austere, and a great devotee of the Lord. But she has one disqualification. She is young and beautiful. And if people see that you are so intimately mixing with her son, they will talk against you. Because the nature of this world is people want to find faults and they gossip and they talk so many things. And your reputation will be ruined, and how can we tolerate this? And their lives will be destroyed by thinking this of you. Therefore, my Lord, please consider my appeal. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he became completely satisfied. He said to Damodar Pandit, your impudency is the sign of your pure love for me. I have no other associate that is so intimately dear to me as you, because you are even willing to speak harshly just for my benefit to serve me. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately embraced Damodar Pandit. The next day, Lord Chaitanya called for Damodar Pandit. Srila Damodar Pandit bowed down dandavat to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya embraced him and spoke. He said, "You should go to Nadia and associate with my mother, because my mother, she is such a pure devotee of me. And I have taken sannyas, and due to my mother's instruction, I am living in Puri. So I cannot be there to protect her. I see no better person that could possibly protect my mother than you. Because you are so strict that you even chastise me. I know that if anyone does anything that is not perfectly bona fide, you will chastise them. So you will maintain the highest and purest standards. Please go and take shelter of my mother's lotus feet and protect her." Then Lord Chaitanya arranged for Govinda to bring wonderful, wonderful prasad to be packed from Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya said to Damodar Pandit, "Please bring this prasad and give it to Sachi Devi and distribute it to Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and all the other devotees. And tell my mother this message. That please know, mother, that I come to your house whenever you offer me the love and prayers along with the food that you cook. Please know, mother, that every time you pray that Nimai love these foods, how much I wish he would come and eat them, that I come and I eat them. I cannot stay away from you. I am always living in your heart and in your home. I cannot give up your motherly love even for a moment." Remind Sachi Mata about how last year, on the day of Makara Sankranti, she offered all the food I loves to eat. And she prayed in that day, "Oh Nimai, please come and take this prasad." She made 10 different kinds of shak. And she made various other vegetables. He described what vegetables and what sweetmeats, and how she made sweet rice and condensed milk. And she offered it with tears blinding her eyes. And I ate all of it. But because of the nature of her love, she doesn't believe I come. She thinks that she forgot to put the food on the plate and she offers it again. Remind her of this and tell her, indeed, I do come to take your prasad. And offer her my millions and millions and millions of obeisances at her lotus feet. Damodar Pandit, after being embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and getting the blessings of the other devotees, he departed for Navadvip. There he met with Sachi Mata. How he surrendered at her lotus feet with great love. And how throughout the day and throughout the night he would narrate the intimate pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. How much bliss Sachi Mata experienced in the association of Damodar Pandit. Then Damodar Pandit began to explain the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya to all the devotees, and they were all so happy to hear. But while he was living in Navadvip, all of the Vaishnavas were in fear of him. Anyone who at any time, anywhere, deviated even slightly from the highest principles of Vaishnav Siddhanta and etiquette, he would chastise them with harsh words. Hare Krishna. During the stay of Damodar Pandit in Navadvip, everyone behaved perfectly according to all the rules and regulations. One day Lord Chaitanya came to Siddha Bakula, the residence of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas offered his most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great affection embraced him. On this day, Lord Chaitanya appeared to be very distressed in his mind. Due to compassion for all the conditioned souls, he inquired from Haridas Thakur, in this age of Kali, people are so fallen, their behavior is so low and sinful. It is a civilization of meat eaters, slaughterhouses, and malechas and yavanas. People have no real inclination to real spiritual principles. Please tell me, Haridas, my heart grieves for them. How will they be delivered? Haridas Thakur replied, you have descended in the transcendental sound of your holy name. You have come to disseminate the holy name of the Lord to everyone, everywhere. Your holy name is so transcendentally pure that anyone who chants it offenselessly will become liberated. Even if a yavana says the name harama, meaning abominable hog, he will be delivered because he has said the name Ram. Then he explained from a Purana, Narasingha Purana, I believe, where one yavana was being stabbed to death by a boar. And as that boar was killing him, because boars are considered abominable, because they're like hogs, they eat stool. This person was saying, abominable, abominable. But the word for abominable is haram, haram. But the real meaning of haram is, my dear Lord Ram. But because he said haram offenselessly at the time of his death, he was given liberation, promotion to Vaikuntha. This is the power of your holy name. Ajamil was a sinful, dirty man. He committed abominable activities. But at the time of his death, he offenselessly one time recited the name Narayan, and the power of that name
freed him of all of his sins. Even Nambas, a dim reflection of the real name of the holy name of Krishna, can deliver one of all his previous sins, of all of his previous lives. And you have come to cause the whole world to chant the holy names. Lord Chaitanya said, but what about the immovable living entities, such as the plants and the trees? How will they be delivered?
Haridas Thakur replied that when you chant the holy names, the trees and the plants and all the immovable objects also are chanting. It sounds like an echo, but actually it is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas, he asked him that my heart melts in compassion to see the conditioned souls. And Haridas Thakur continued. He said, by your mercy, you have descended to give everyone Krishna Prema that will accept. In the Jharikhanda forest, you caused even the animals to dance and chant. Vasudev Dutt prayed for the deliverance of the entire universe. And on the basis of his unalloyed prayer of compassion, you have already delivered every moving and non-moving living entity in the entire universe. They will all go back to Godhead because of the prayers of Vasudev Dutt. Lord Chaitanya asked, if everyone goes back to Godhead, what will happen? The universe will be empty. Thakur Haridas replied, when Lord Ramchandra lived in Ayodhya, when he went back to his eternal abode, he brought all the residents of Ayodhya with him, but immediately it filled up with other residents that were meant to come there. And when Lord Krishna appeared in this world, when he disappeared, the entire universe went back home. But immediately it was filled up with other living entities who were meant to come. Similarly, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have come to give everyone Krishna Prema, to liberate everyone. Everyone will go back, but the universe will immediately fill up again. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give every living entity the opportunity to return to our original position in the spiritual world with Radha and Krishna, through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Lord Chaitanya was very happy hearing Haridas Thakur's words of great love and devotion. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that the devotee is always trying to remove the anxiety of the Lord. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Every living entity is eternal servant of Krishna, child of Krishna. Due to forgetfulness of our original Krishna consciousness, we have come to this material world and we suffer birth after birth after birth. And this is painful to the heart of the Supreme Lord due to His love, His perfect love for every living entity. The Supreme Personality of Godhead loves those people even who have rejected Him and who blaspheme Him to such an extent. He resides as the Paramatma within their heart and never leaves them. Is always waiting for the moment when they will turn to Him and He will give them the chance to return to their original ecstatic position of His servants. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt distressed to see the suffering of people trying to enjoy this material world in forgetfulness of Him. And Haridas Thakur was a perfect servant. His life was dedicated to relieve that anxiety in the heart of the Lord. And therefore he spoke in such a way to remove that distress in the heart of his Lord. And he lived perfectly for the purpose of that. Haridas Thakur was gladly beaten through 22 marketplaces before he would stop preaching the glories of the holy name. He said to the Qazi and the executioners that to give up my life is no difficulty at all, but to give up showing compassion to others is impossible to me. No matter how much I have to suffer or die is not important, but I must serve the Lord by preaching the message of the chanting of the holy names. Haridas Thakur revealed such opulences. It is explained that when he was living in a place called Benapole, close by, he was chanting 300,000 names of Krishna every day. One very wealthy landowner named Ramchandra Khan was so egoistic he could not tolerate seeing other people honored greater than him. When people have a high position, they become attached to being honored, and it becomes very intolerable to see someone getting more respect than themselves. A person with very little position doesn't really mind so much. But the more you're respected, the more intolerable it is to see others respected more than you. Because the ego falls into the trap to think that I deserve it. It is sense gratification. Profit, adoration, and distinction, Prabhupada declares to be subtle form of sex enjoyment. So the more we are praised, the more we become addicted to that praise. And if it starts being diverted to someone else, it is intolerable to the heart. It's a fate worse than death. This is material consciousness. Vaishnav consciousness is just the opposite. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Sanatana Goswami, even though he was so learned, he was so
pure, he was so advanced, even Lord Chaitanya accepted him as a Shiksha Guru. But when someone so exalted as that thinks himself to be more humble than a blade of grass, that is the greatest opulence in all of creation.
Sanatan considered himself more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. You will know you are really pleasing Krishna. That day comes when one of your peers is being glorified and is getting great success in his or her Krishna consciousness, and your heart is filled with happiness, and you're bowing down with humility at that person's lotus feet. That is the day you know you're really pleasing Krishna. Ramchandra Khan, he wanted to destroy Haridas Thakur's reputation so people would realize that he is the best. So he called for the best of prostitutes. And she said, "No man has ever resisted my charms." Within 3 days, all of his renunciation will no longer be manifest. So he was very happy. "Let me send some witnesses." "No need, no need. I will call for the witnesses at the right time." So he was in the forest all alone. And just as the sun was setting, she approached him. She offered her obeisances to Tulsi Devi. Then she sat before him. And she began to reveal various irresistible gestures. Her body started going into postures just to disturb his mind. And she sat, and with a very sweet voice she spoke, "Oh, Thakur, you are so beautiful. You're so handsome, and you're so young. My mind is so much attracted to you. And look at me. I am very beautiful, and I am very young. It is the will of Providence that we are together at this time in this place to enjoy. Please, please, let us have union together." Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur, with great patience and compassion, he told this prostitute, "I will most certainly fulfill all of your desires. But I have made a vow to chant 3 lakhs of names a day and so many a month. I must fulfill my vow, and when it is complete, then I will satisfy your desires. You just sit here and wait." She sat. And throughout the entire night, Haridas Thakur, without any attraction in his mind for anything except Krishna's name, continued to loudly chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. the sun entered the horizon.
The prostitute said, "You promised." "You did not fulfill my desires, and the night is gone."
Haridas said, "I am very sorry, but I didn't complete my vow of chanting. Return tomorrow night."
So she returned the next night. She offered obeisance to Tulsi. As she was sitting, he was chanting the holy names, and she was performing various postures that even the greatest of sages could not possibly tolerate in their minds. But Haridas Thakur just continued experiencing the higher taste of the transcendental sound vibration of Krishna's holy names. All night long, the sun came to the horizon. The prostitute was becoming very much impatient. Haridas Thakur said, "I still did not complete my vow. Come tonight." She returned for the third consecutive night. She bowed down to Tulsi, and meanwhile, as she was sitting there, three nights all the time, loudly Haridas was chanting. And toward the end of the third night, the prostitute was sitting there, and she started chanting along with Thakur, "Haridas, Krishna's holy name." Her heart became completely pure by hearing the wonderful chanting of Haridas Thakur. His prayers delivered her from the clutches of sinful life. At the end of the third night, Haridas Thakur said, "I have completed my rounds." The prostitute came and fell at his lotus feet and surrendered her life with tears in her eyes. She said, "Please, I am such a sinful soul, forgive me. Ramchandra Khan sent me here only to destroy your spiritual principles and cause the whole world to hate you and condemn you. That was my motive for coming. But you have so mercifully given me Krishna consciousness." Haridas Thakur, he said, "I know all this. I know that fool and rascal Ramchandra Khan sent you here to make me fall down. The first day you came, I was planning to leave. But I decided to stay three extra days just to deliver you and give you Krishna consciousness." The prostitute begged for initiation. She simply wanted to be his servant. Haridas Thakur replied, "Go to your home and give away to the Brahmins and others all of the riches you made through your sinful activities. And come back here only wearing one simple white cloth. I am going to leave this place to another. You remain here and worship Tulsi Maharani and constantly chant Krishna's holy name." Srila Haridas Thakur ki. That prostitute remained there
And people would come and bring her whatever food or whatever she required. And soon, everyone of that vicinity understood she was this low, degraded, sinful prostitute has become of a paramhamsa by the mercy of Srila Haridas Thakur. Instead of Ramchandra destroying his reputation, he increased and magnified the fame and glory of Haridas Thakur. But what happened to him?
Hare Krishna.
Once Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to that place with a group of other devotees, and he came to Ramchandra Khan's residence. He was a very wealthy man, so wealthy and famous and young and handsome. But he was envious of Nityananda Prabhu. He sent a message, "You can stay in the cowshed."
Hare Krishna.
At the Durga Mandapa, Nityananda, he said, "This place is so condemned, it is not fit for any suitable person to stay." And he left. Soon after that, the governor of the province came to that area. He was a Yavana. And the first thing he did is killed a cow in the courtyard near the Durga Mandapa of Ramchandra Khan. Cooked it. Completely contaminated everything. And then this Yavana, he took Ramchandra Khan, his entire family, and plundered all of their wealth and put them in prison and tortured them. Then plundered the wealth and beat, tortured, and imprisoned practically everyone in the entire town. Through this story, we understand that if one commits serious offenses to saintly devotees of the Lord, not only is oneself ruined, but one's family and all one's town is ruined by the reactions of that offense. One time, Balaramacharya, who was a very close associate of the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, he invited Haridas Thakur to an assembly of very learned scholars, and especially asked him to preach about the glories of the holy name. When Haridas Thakur entered the assembly, Balaramacharya and the others greeted him with so much respect and affection and offered him a suitable place to sit and asked him, "Please speak about the glories of Krishna's holy name." They all began to glorify Haridas Thakur. He chants 300,000 names every day. He is the very personification of love of God through the chanting of the holy names. Please speak. Haridas began to quote from various scriptural passages how the holy name of Krishna is non-different than Krishna. All the powers and opulences of Krishna have descended in his name. And the holy name of Krishna, even if it is pronounced improperly, incorrectly, or even if other syllables disconnected from it, still if one chants sincerely, one will get the result of Krishna consciousness. Even Namabhas, even the shadow of the effect of the real chanting of the holy name, can liberate one from all material entanglement. Just like before the sun actually rises, the sky is illuminated with light. Similarly, before the real goal of chanting, pure, unmotivated, unadulterated love of God appears, just from the preliminary. One is liberated from all ignorance. This is the power of the holy name. That liberation is just an insignificant byproduct of offenseless chanting. The real goal is pure love of Krishna. Everyone was so much appreciative of Haridasa's words because he spoke with realization. At that time, one very learned but egoistic Brahmin whose name was Gopal Chakravarti, he was very, very upset to hear Haridas Thakur's description. And he stood up and he said, "This is nonsense you are speaking." Because he was an impersonalist. His goal of life was impersonal liberation. You are saying that the great, supreme, ultimate perfection of life, mukti, is just an insignificant byproduct of the chanting of the holy names. This is an offense. I curse you that if one does not get mukti through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, I curse you that your nose will fall off.
Hare Krishna.
When he said this, Balaramacharya, Hiranya Majumdar, Govardhan Majumdar, they were very upset. They said to Gopal Chak, "What nonsense, get out of this place. We have invited a saintly person, he is speaking the truth, and you are so envious, you are offending him." Gopal Chakravarti worked as an employee of Hiranya Majumdar. He instantly fired him. Told him, "Get out, rascal." Then they started begging forgiveness of Haridas. "We invited you, have been offended." Haridas said, "No, no, it is all right. I don't mind. He is just a fool, that's all." And then Haridas continued glorifying the Lord. But shortly after that, within a matter of a day or so, the beautiful, handsome nose of Gopal Chakravarti melted off due to leprosy. And his fingers, which were like the buds of the champak flower, melted off and fell to the ground. And his toes also. And he suffered terribly, miserably for many years before ultimately he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged forgiveness and received the Lord's mercy. Haridas Thakur went to Shantipur. There he met Srila Advaita Acharya. When he met Advaita Acharya, this was such a great, great celebration of love that they experienced in their hearts. They embraced one another and touched the feet of one another and cried together, chanted together, danced in ecstasy together, discussed Krishna together. Srila Advaita Acharya was so pleased that he arranged a place for Haridas Thakur to reside just close to Shantipur in a place called Fulia. One day, Advaita, who was the most respected amongst all Brahmins, was performing the Shraddha ceremony. During this ceremony, the most exalted senior of all Brahmins is always given the first remnant of the Shraddha prasad. This is a very, very strong tradition. It is the greatest honor to receive the first remnants of the Shraddha Prasad. When Advaitacharya was performing this ceremony, all the greatest, most learned Brahmins and devotees were assembled. And Advaitacharya offered the first remnants of the Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur, who happened to be born in an outcast, untouchable Yavana family. Because Sri Advaita Chandra understood the real heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To reveal to the world very, very strongly that it is not by birth, but it is by qualification that what is understood to be qualified. And Haridas Thakur was the very embodiment of total surrender to the Yuga Dharma. Therefore, Sri Advaita Chandra gave him the ultimate of all respect. Haridas Thakur felt so ashamed, disqualified, and humble. It was in Fulia that Haridas Thakur was beaten in those 22 marketplaces. But Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains a remarkable story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. While he was living there, Maya wanted to test him. The full personification of all the potencies of Maya herself personally appeared in the form of a female. Please do not try to imagine what she looked like. If some lady whose body is just stool and urine and bones and pus and blood and mucus and bile and gas, but somehow or other a little thin, hardly paper thin packaging of skin and hair with holes in it, because of one little tiny insignificant reflection of a spark of Maya's potency, we become mad after that person. We become infatuated. Even people say, Prabhu, Prabhu, huh, I don't... I'm helpless, there's nothing I can do. Can you imagine if Maya with all of her potency was before you in her full-fledged form as a woman? What would you do? Please do not imagine what you would do. She appeared like this before Haridas Thakur as the most beautiful woman. And she approached him just as the sun was setting. That time is the most powerful time for the senses to be disturbed. And she began to present various irresistible gestures with her body, postures. She was presenting before Haridas. She said, please, I have come to enjoy with you. Haridas Thakur explained, I have not completed my rounds yet. After I complete my rounds, I will satisfy all of your desires. for 3 consecutive nights, Maya Devi personally tried to distract the mind of Haridas Thakur. Yavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka yanantascha buddhayo vyavashayanam. Haridas Thakur's mind was fixed in the holy name. Srila Prabhupada explains, whenever Maya comes to trick us, so many ways she will come. Our only shelter is to fix our mind at the lotus feet of Krishna through the chanting of his holy name. At the end of the 3rd night, Maya Devi offered her surrendered obeisances at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. She introduced herself as Maya. She said, "I have even bewildered the mind of Lord Brahma. I have bewildered the mind of even the greatest sages. But I am not able to bewilder your mind at all because you are so fixed in Krishna. My power controls this entire cosmic manifestation. If someone controls a family or a city or a country, they consider themselves quite powerful. But how much control do you have?" Maya is not just controlling one planet. She is controlling all the planets in the universe. She is controlling all of the universes in all of creation thoroughly. Everyone is completely under her control. But she could not even slightly disturb the mind of Haridas Thakur because he was always immersed in tasting the sweetness of Harinam Sankirtan. Maya Devi told Haridas that previously I was initiated by Lord Shiva and given the name of Lord Ram to chant. But after meeting you, I want to take initiation from you in the name of Krishna and be your disciple. Srila Haridas Thakur Ki! The unlimited glories of Haridas Thakur are sung by all devotees forever because of his great devotion to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his being willing to give his very life to preach Lord Chaitanya's message to everyone. We will continue making some insignificant efforts to describe this glorious Antya-lila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada Ki! Thank you very much. Abhanat puna praptam Sri Gaura Sri Sanatanam Dehapathad avan snehat Shudham chakre parikshaya. When Sanatan Goswami returned from Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately saved him from his determination to commit suicide. Then, after testing him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified his body. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jayadvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, everyone. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Srila Rupa Goswami returned from Jagannath Puri to go to Bengal to perform his various duties in regard to dividing his wealth amongst his Brahmins and relatives, family members, Sanatan Goswami came from Mathura to visit Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. He traveled through a path in the Jharikhanda forest. Jharikhanda forest is in the central part of India. He was so eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he traveled alone. There was no one to help him, no arrangements. Some of the days he fasted. Some days he would find something to eat. Because he had drunk some polluted water, Sanatan Goswami contracted a terrible, painful disease. His entire body was covered with sores that were oozing a very diseased liquid as well as blood. This skin condition caused a terrible, terrible itching sensation. Sanatan Goswami was so afflicted by these itching, oozing sores, he became very disappointed. He was not disappointed due to the pain, but he was disappointed in that his body had become so useless. How would it be able to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this condition? He considered that I am a low caste and my body is useless for devotional service. I have heard that the residential quarters of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is near the temple of Lord Jagannath, but I shall not have the power to go near the temple. The servants of Jagannath generally move in and out of the temple in that area. Sanatan Goswami was thinking that if I go near them or touch them, they will be contaminated, and when they go back on the altar, they will make aparads to Lord Jagannath. Therefore, if I sacrifice this body in a good place, my unhappiness will be mitigated, and I shall attain an exalted destination. Sanatan Goswami made a plan. During the Rath Yatra festival, when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple, I shall give up my body under the wheel of his chariot. In the divine presence of Lord Jagannath, I shall give up my body under the wheel in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his devotees, as they are loudly chanting the holy names of God. having resolved this plan in his mind, Sanatan Goswami arrived at Jagannath Puri. There he asked directions to the house of Haridas Thakur. When he arrived, Haridas Thakur was very much pleased to meet him, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come there every day. Sanatan Goswami asked, "Where is Lord Chaitanya?" Haridas said, "He will come very soon." At that very moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived. Every day Lord Chaitanya would go to the Upala Bhog, or the morning food offering, to Lord Jagannath. And then he would come to the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur to bring him the prasad of Lord Jagannath. And together he would sit with Haridas Thakur and discuss Krishna Katha for some time. When Sanatan Goswami saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, he immediately offered his prostrated obeisances. Haridas Thakur said that this is Sanatan Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so pleased, picked up Sanatan and came to embrace him. Sanatan Goswami, his body was in such an abominably diseased condition, he tried to resist Lord Chaitanya. However, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Sanatan, who said, "My Lord, please do not touch me. I am full of all sorts of contaminations. I am the lowest of men. Besides, my body has all infections." But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him by force. As he embraced him, the oozing, diseased substances of Sanatan Goswami smeared upon the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya inquired from Sanatan of what is the news of the devotees in Mathura and Vrindavan. He explained that just 10 days ago, Rupa Goswami left Jagannath Puri. He was here for about 10 months. And your brother, Anupam, he has left his body. Sanatan Goswami, he told Lord Chaitanya that your mercy is so great, even upon this low caste family of mine, you have bestowed so much mercy. Anupam, my youngest brother, he was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra from his very birth. He always worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. One time, Rupa Goswami and myself approached Anupam and invited him that we are all brothers and we are intimately associated with one another. Let us worship Krishna together, because the pastimes of Lord Krishna are the most beautiful. They are the essence of all sweetness. Krishna is supremely merciful. Let us worship Krishna together. Anupam always was eager to obey his brothers. So he told them, "Please initiate me in the name of Krishna, and I will worship Krishna with you." But that night, Anupam could not sleep. All night long, his mind was in terrible distress. and he cried because it was impossible for him to in any way relinquish his worship of Lord Raghunath. After crying all night long, Anupam came to Srila Sanatana and Rupa Goswami's and told them that it is impossible for me to give up the worship of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Ramchandra. I have given my head to him. My life is his property. It is too painful for me to take it back. Sanatan Goswami told Lord Chaitanya that upon hearing this, we both embraced him. So pleased with the chastity of his pure love for Lord Sri Ram. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this, he explained a similar incident happened with Murari Gupta. He was also a great devotee of Sri Ram from his birth. And I explained to him that the pastimes of Krishna are the very essence of all sweetness. Please worship Krishna of Vrindavan. The next day in the morning, Murari Gupta came in terrible distress. I could not sleep throughout the entire night. I simply cried. Please give me permission to end my life. Because if I do not obey your instructions, my existence is useless. But I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Raghunath, and it is too painful for me to offer it anywhere else. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Murari Gupta and exclaimed with great ecstasy, "You are Hanuman. Your love for Sri Ram is pure and chaste. Today I tested you to see your glories." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatana Goswami. Blessed and glorious is that devotee who never gives up the shelter of the lotus feet of his worshipable Lord. Glorious is that Lord who never gives up his devotee. Glorious is that Lord who, when the devotee falls down and leaves the service of the Lord, he drags him back by the hair. Lord Chaitanya then told Sanatan Goswami that you kindly stay here at the home of Haridas Thakur. Together discuss the glories of Krishna, worship Krishna, and always chant his holy name. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the abode of Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, and he began to speak. "My dear Sanatana, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would certainly give up millions of bodies without a moment's hesitation. You should know that one cannot attain Krishna by giving up his body. Krishna is attainable only by devotional service. There is no other means of attaining him. Acts such as suicide are influenced by the mode of ignorance, and ignorance and passion
one cannot understand Krishna. Unless one discharges devotional service, one's dormant love of Krishna cannot be awakened within one's heart. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from various scriptures to describe how it isn't through the performance of fruitive activities or Astanga Yoga that one can achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. It is only by pure, unalloyed devotional service. Lord Chaitanya said that activities such as suicide are sinful, and a devotee can never achieve the shelter of Krishna through such actions. However, sometimes, while feeling separation from Krishna, a devotee cannot live without reuniting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, when a devotee has such intense feelings of separation that he no longer has any reason to go on living without the Lord, at that time the Lord reveals himself to his devotee and fulfills his desires. He began to explain how in the separation of love of Krishna, sometimes this sentiment awakens in a person's heart. For instance, Rukmini in Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes that one time Krishna chastised her in order to test her love. He told Rukmini that, "I am not worthy of such a nice queen as you. Better I leave this place." Rukmini Devi, she was in so much anguish. She said to Krishna that without your divine service, I have no reason to live. If I cannot attain your mercy, I will give up eating. I will fast until my body dwindles, fades away. I am willing to give up millions and millions of bodies if I can achieve your mercy. He quoted the gopis of Vrindavan when they were in the anguish of separation from Krishna. They prayed that our love for you in separation is like a burning fire within our hearts. And if you do not reveal your mercy to us soon, this fire will burn our bodies to ashes. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that he should give up his nonsense desires of committing suicide because he has so many wonderful services that he wants to perform through Sanatana. Sanatana Goswami replied, "My body is useless. What use can you possibly have from this wretched, low-caste, sinful body of mine?" Lord Chaitanya explained that my mother has sent me to Jagannath Puri. However, I have a great mission I want to fulfill in Mathura. And it is through your body that I will do this work. I want to excavate the holy places. I want to establish through you transcendental literature explaining to the world what is a devotee, what is devotional service, what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is a proper Vaishnava's behavior and etiquette. Through you, I want to exemplify how people should properly live in the renounced order of life. I want to establish centers and temples where people will come and learn the proper process of devotional service. All of these purposes are to be achieved through your body, and you want to give it up. Just see, Haridas Thakur, what is the mentality of this man? He wants to destroy another man's property. You have already surrendered your life to me. Therefore, your body is my property. It is not yours. You have no right to misuse independently another man's property. This is sinful. Therefore, give up this idea. Sanatan Goswami began to think in his heart that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient. I never spoke this secret desire to anyone, but he understands everyone's inner desires. And it appears he does not approve of this desire. Thus, Sanatan Goswami, he turned to Haridas Thakur, who heard the whole conversation. Haridas exclaimed with great ecstasy, "There is no one more fortunate than you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted your body as his own property. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to fulfill his own desires through your life. What mercy you have achieved." Sanatana Goswami replied, "I am the most sinful. I am the most fallen. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is causeless. But Haridas, you are the most fortunate, because Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically appeared in this age of Kali Yuga in order to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma, the transcendental chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And he has chosen not to perform this activity personally, but to do it through you. You are the very personification of pure love of God through the chanting of the holy names. You are chanting 300,000 names of Krishna every day. Some people, their behavior is very good, but they do not preach. And others, they preach, but they do not have proper behavior. But you simultaneously have perfect Vaishnava behavior, and you are a perfect preacher. Therefore, you are the best amongst all devotees. You are fit to be the spiritual master of the entire world. Then you are the greatest devotee in the entire world." In this way, Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami enjoyed the sweet nectar of seeing each other's glorious qualities. The devotees of Bengal came for the Rath Yatra. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very happily introduced Sanatana Goswami to all of the devotees. He told Sanatana Goswami to worship those devotees. He went to each of them and offered his prostrated obeisances and took the dust of their lotus feet. Each of the devotees embraced Sanatana Goswami with so much affection. And when the devotees saw how merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to Sanatana Goswami, he became so dear and beloved to their lives.
Lord Chaitanya told all the devotees, bestow all of your blessings and mercy on Sri Sanatan Goswami.
Just see his renunciation.
Sanatan Goswami was the prime minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah, the king of all of the province of Bengal.
But in order to serve Lord Chaitanya, he gave up his beautiful palace, his huge luxurious estate, all of his wealth, his power, his fame, to live as a simple mendicant, begging for food, living under trees, walking alone through the jungles, fasting, catching diseases, without even consideration of his own physical or mental well-being. He was fixed only in the spirit of true renunciation.
Perfection of renunciation is simply to accept what is favorable for pleasing Krishna and his devotees, and to reject what is unfavorable.
When Sanatan Goswami was living in Vrindavan, one very wealthy man named Mr. Kapoor came and offered to build a beautiful temple for his deity of Madan Mohan, whom he was worshipping under a tree. Sanatan Goswami accepted. Beautiful temple, carved out of precious red stone, was made for the deities. Also, a very large and elegant kirtan hall and prasadam hall. Sanatan Goswami accepted all of this great wealth in the service of the deities. But he personally continued to sleep under trees and beg for food during Madhukari. He only wore the tattered, rejected cloth that were no longer useful to anyone else, and a patched quilt in the winter. But he was always immersed in great compassion, in trying to inspire the whole world to be Krishna conscious, through his writing of literatures, through his personal example. In fact, all the people of Vrindavan considered Sanatan Goswami their guru. He was so affectionate. He was like their best friend. He was like the father, the mother. He gave so much love and compassion to everyone, even the most insignificant, that the joy of everyone's heart was simply to see Sanatan Goswami, to hear from him, to try to serve him. He helped the Brijabasis on every level of their life, and this way he became so dear to their hearts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed the glories of Sanatan Goswami to the devotees. And the devotees, they became so much affectionate to Sanatan Goswami. This is the very basis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture.